This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome everyone to Neat Footy Fridays, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinidaro Aruna and my koi Sammy Wykes is already in Fiji with the Drua playing tonight in the Super Rugby. So I've caught up the family hotline and got my cousin. Welcome back to Bol Soboanga.
Toots. Kia rana T, 18th man, the best in the business here. I'm very, very grateful for Sam to take on his holiday. So I'm coming off the bench here.
You're one of the best. So today's show, what we got lined up?
Yeah, straight into it. We got the NRL round 10, which is underway. Firstly, we're going to review Eels versus Dolphins last night. How good was that game?
Massive game.
And then we're going to preview a couple of games coming up this week. So a massive week of the NRL coming up. In Super Rugby, it's all about the draw this week as Moana have the bye. So King Kifu will be coming through as usual with his inside scoop. There's also a rumour around the Pacifica and Indigenous team for this year to take on the Lions. So stay tuned to that and Big Kifu will be able to talk to you about that.
Yes, and a bit of a different show today with Salatonga Tuki. She is preparing for Game 2 of the Women's State of Origin next week. We will be playing the best bits of the Maroons halfback interview, Tavana Papali'i, that we had a couple weeks ago. So stay tuned, and if you miss that, geez, it was a great interview, so we'll be getting that one on our show today.
My name is Ali Kator, and I'm listening to Nissan Footy.
Let's start with Rugby League, T.
Yes, so last night you mentioned NRL round 10, they kicked off, and it was the Eels taking on the Dolphins. Now, geez, what a game. Dolphins taking this one, but it went right to the 80th minute. Dolphins winning 20-16. Both teams scored three tries each. I thought the Dolphins got off to a really good start, and then the Eels started to apply a bit of pressure. Now, it was the Samoan winger, Jermaine Isako, was the difference with three conversions and one penalty goal. But you have to say that there were some positive signs. I know the Eels are struggling this year. They've only had one win on the board. But when you look at the experience in their team, you know, a lot of rookies there and a new coach as well, I don't see them being far from success. You know, I mentioned their fullback, Isaiah Iyongi. He's going to be a star of the future. He had the most carries in this game. Very safe under the high ball. But you've also got a Fijian back rower in Kitione Gautonga. He had this play where they were behind by, I think it was 10 points. Last play, they give him the ball. I think it was a mistake. He didn't know. He goes bumps and then offloads to the 5-8. And then Dylan Brown runs down, sets up a try for the Eels to keep him in the chase. But there are some good signs for our Eels and the rising stars that are at the club. What did you take from this game, Toops?
Yeah, well, I just thought, you know, what a great game to see our Pacifica talent come through in the clutch. Obviously, you got Katoa. He's just getting better and better. He could probably, arguably, be in contention for New South Wales if he wasn't behind Nathan Cleary. But I think for the Eels, you got to take it from this perspective. If they got their kicks, it would have been a draw at the end into overtime. So I think there's a lot of positive signs for a young Eels team behind, I guess, their senior leader, Mitchell Moses. So great for the younger Pacific Islanders like Iyongi to learn off a hard loss.
Yeah, credit to Dolphins too. Their desperation and defence. You know, Eels had a couple moments where they could have scored, but you know, you think, look at that very last play where you had the hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. His try saver, which won Dolphins the game on the 80th minute, just shows the desperation to defend their line. But also, when they have the ball in hand, how they keep applying pressure and not go away. They completed, what was it, 95% of their sets.
Yep.
And it was Isaiah Katoa's kicking game. You know, get to the fifth tackle, just kick it down in the corner, and just keep applying pressure to the Eels. So, just a great game to kick off round 10. Now, We've got two other games that we want to preview now. I think these are the games of the weekend when I look at the NRL Round 10. Now, I'll start with the first one, Cowboys taking on the Penrith Panthers. Both entertaining teams. You look at, you know, the Cowboys coming off a close loss to the Warriors in Magic Round. That's sitting at ninth place. And the Penrith Panthers, after a big win against the Broncos, you know, they've crept up a couple spots.
Well, they're coming.
But
they are coming.
A few key matchups. You know, for the Cowboys, you've got the left back rower, Samoan Jeremiah Nanai. He's coming up against Liam Martin, the New South Wales Blues back rower. The way Nanai played last week against the Warriors, he really took that responsibility to lead that team. Mm. And, you know, he scored a try. He was very dominant. You look at the middle pack. Now, this is a big matchup. Jason Taumalolo at front row up against Samoan Kiwi Moses Leota. Now, these are going to be some big collisions up in that middle. And if one team needs to go forward, it's going to be coming off the back of these two. So, huge matchup. And the big man, or I wouldn't say big man, but one of the biggest characters and best wingers in the game, Brian To'o, the Bizza, is back.
Big Bizza is back. It's going to be a great great matchup between him and Robert Derby. You know, Robert Derby's out there trying to basically fend for himself to stay in the NRL. And you know what it's like, T, when you're just a battler, you always play your best games. And obviously, Brian's come back from injury, which should be perfect timing before he goes into New South Wales selection. The other thing I was going to say to you is coming off the bench is Luron Partia. He had a great game off the bench last week, scored a try, and I think he's only like 21 at the moment. So a good player for the future. Hopefully he plays for Toa Samoa.
Hey, he's also a St. Clair Comets junior.
Oh man, you can't claim everyone. But yeah,
the reason why this is one of my games is because whoever wins, it's a crucial game for the winner. Now, if Panthers win, although they haven't been the best, it hasn't been the best start for their season, they win, they pretty much get back into the race to try and catch the top eight. You know, it puts them to 8 points. Now, if the Cowboys win, they go into the they'll go into the top eight, sitting at ninth at the moment. So crucial game, important game for both teams. Yeah. Now, on the other game, which I think is the game of the round, is the top of the table clash, where you've got second place, the Canberra Raiders, taking on the first place, Canterbury Bulldogs.
Man, what a game.
Both coming off some huge wins. The Raiders, you know, that game against the Storm to finish off Magic Round last week, man, they showed some grit and determination. The Bulldogs, they've been in some form, and you know, it's led by their captain, Stephen Crichton. I think him on that right centre is a huge matchup against Sebastian Chris for the Raiders. And also in the middle, you know, you've got the two props, Joseph Taupine starting for the Raiders, and also Daniel Sulukafafita starting for the Bulldogs. So, couple good ones. And then off the bench for the Raiders, you've got Josh Papali'i and Ata Mariota. And then we can't forget to mention the Fijian back rower, Viliami Kikau, to do some damage for the Bulldogs. So always a tough place to go down to Canberra and play. Who are you tipping on this one, Toots?
Oh, it's hard to go past the Raiders in the nation's capital. One player that really stands out to me, he's only young, is that Savalio Tamale. He's so good, young, he's energetic, his carries, I think he averages around 18 to 20 carries a game. That's huge for a young up-and-coming player. But one thing you love about wingers is the ability to carry out of the yardage. That's what Brian's known for, Brian To'o, and I think his game is built around that young Savalio. So, you know, he'll be a big impact to his team's get out sets this weekend.
Well, they're the new meter eaters as the outside backs.
The new props.
They are the ones props that make the most meters. And you look at, remember, Cronulla Sharks. I reckon that's where there was a bit of a shift when you had guys like Valentine Holmes, Ricky Lutelli, Sai Fiki, and Ben Barber and Gerard Bill. They were the back five on that grand final team in 2016. And I remember their saying was kamikaze.
Well, they're trying to who is it? Paul Gallen's comparing the the Canberra backline to their backline that won it. So it's pretty cool to see that Canberra finally getting their dues from the greats.
Beautiful. In other NRL news, mate, the biggest news this week has to be the announcement of the Perth Bears introduced back into the NRL for 2027, with the NRL securing a deal with the club on Wednesday night. Yep. So we'll see two past clubs emerge as one.
And based out in
based
Perth.
In Perth. You've had the old North Sydney Bears, and all their members will be going to Perth and representing Western Australia in 2027. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I just think it's great for the game, right? Great for the game means more opportunity for those players that should be playing NRL, but they're playing in the New South Wales Cup or Queensland Cup. But also just means like the state of the game right now. The state of the game means, you know, financially it's really healthy. So bringing on another team is going to, you know, just bring more opportunities, where it's operationally or if it's on the field. You know, it's a great opportunity for the game of the NRL. So we'll see who's the coach.
One thing I do love about the Bears is that they are some loyal fans.
Yeah, did you see that yesterday on the news?
All the fans watching the announcement?
Yeah. They were crying, and, you know, how much it means to them that they're back. 30 years.
Been around for a long time, and, you know, very happy for them fans. Now, it's not easy to, you know, bring in a new club and to build a new club from scratch. But what they do have is a pathway system. They also have a number of members, a membership base that they'll go to Western Australia and support that team. But they're going to have to start putting together a pretty good roster. One, start with the coach, and then their roster. It'll be interesting to see who are those marquee players for the Perth Bears for the 2027 and the 18th team in the NRL.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really good.
Remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. It's a competition bye this week in the Queensland Cup, so PNG Hunters will have the week off, and the Cavite Silktails are in action on Saturday against the Rabbitohs in Redfern in the Jersey Flag. Now let's shift over to rugby union. There's plenty of rugby league, but we're going to catch up with Totai Kefu soon. What have you got for us, Toops?
Yeah, just starting tonight, we've got the Drua taking on the Blues, first game for the Super Rugby Pacifica round after a big win from both sides. Both teams come in tonight feeling fairly confident. The Drua, they play at their home ground, so they should be feeling extra confident because they really lose at home. But that being said, the Blues are fighting for every win that they can get so that they can make the six into the final. But yeah, like I said, Fiji and Georgia doing everything they can to get off the bottom of the table, and the Blues are currently sitting one win out of the top six. So Drua at home, usually both teams would, generally speaking, you'd go for the Drua, but with the finals at stake, you know, I think the Blues are going to head away with the win. One kid that I wanted to highlight in the Blues at the moment is a young second 5'8 Xavier Taelia for the Blues. He is a player for the future. Most likely he's been aired to make the All Blacks, but with Samoan heritage, we could see him play for the Manu Samoa. So hopefully we get some payback and bring him over to the Manu Samoa jersey.
Where was he? Do you know where he was brought up?
He was brought up in New Zealand.
Do you think his dreams to play for the All Blacks or the Manu Samoa?
Well, the state of rugby union in New Zealand is not the greatest at the moment, and the way that Adi Salvia is playing, you know, and he's giving back to his team, we're going to try and convince him to go over to Moana Pacifica. But speaking of Adi, at the moment, he continues his great form, remaining at the top of the Super Rugby Player of the Year standings at 9 votes ahead of the second best player. So
9 votes ahead.
Yeah, so basically, he's going to win it.
Damn.
Yeah, and that hasn't been done before. So
that's, you think of the, I remember when the news came out when Adi was going over to Moana, and there was a lot of criticism from some rugby union fans about
New Zealand greats
and is his game going to drop or what impact this will have on his career. Man, he's lifted up a gear. The influence he's had on not only Moana Pacifica but also the game of rugby union and all the people within the game, he's made an impact on and off the field.
Yeah, like guys like Ardy, you know, to have him in your team in itself is great, but to have him in a movement has been globally impactful. So it's awesome to see him, get against the naysayers who said that his game will regress. So we will enjoy him for the rest of the year. All the best to Ardy and his team as they push for their first time ever being in the finals. Tusi Pisi, he is the new coach for the Manu Samoa team. So they will drop some more news around their coaching staff. But Tusi Pisi, he is a former player. He's played 40-something tests for them, and he's going to be a great addition to them. He's brought on Theo McFarlane, who will be the captain. So Theo, he's playing over in England for the Saracens, probably and arguably the greatest, the best lock in the world at the moment.
Hey, before we move on to Liam's, is he a chance? Manu Samoa?
Oh, mate, well, the way he reacted around the former coach getting sacked, I'm not sure if he would be.
The phone call. Yeah. Liam Asops is not getting that.
I don't know if Liam will get the phone call, but I think if pride wasn't at the forefront, I think they should call him. They probably should call him. But Tusi has brought on his coaching staff. He's got Census Johnson. He takes over as scrum and forward coach. Kane Thompson becomes the liner and context coach. And they got Ty Lavia as their defence coach. So they got their first test against Scotland in July and their Pacific Nations Cup in August. So it's going to be a great coaching setup for them. And hopefully they build into a great World Cup in 2027. Now, lastly, just around rugby, Sam told you about the Sevens results from LA on Monday, but now that the dust has settled for Samoa, it's clear that with the new Sevens format and divisions, they will now have to play in the Oceania Championships to try to qualify for the third division of the Sevens. So it's a big month for the Sevens. And lastly, I just want to make massive condolences to the family, friends, and the rugby community of Fijian Sevens player Josiah Raiseku, who has unfortunately passed away at the age of 30. So condolences to his family and friends worldwide.
Great work, Toops. We'll cover more rugby union shortly with Totai Kefu, but first, we will be playing our best moments with 19-year-old Maroons superstar Tavana Papali'i.
All right, T, joining us today on Nijan Footy is one of the young superstars in the NRLW. She made her debut for the Roosters last year at the age of 19, also won an NRLW premiership. She also represented Fetu Samoa and was player of the match against Tonga in their 30-16 win. And she joins us right now. Tavana Papali, thank you so much for joining us on Nijan Footy.
Thank you for having me.
We'll start off with your Samoan culture. How much do you know about your Samoan side and your villages, where your family's from?
To be honest, I'm kind of plastic. Don't judge me for it, guys. Now, I know enough where, you know, I'm happy to put my last name out there and always, you know, open to learning more. And I think that's what I was super grateful for PAC Champs last year. I think it broadened that up and opened my eyes to that. I'm super close with my dad, even though he gets on my nerves sometimes. But keeps me in check about making sure I know what I'm talking about, making sure I'm respectful, staying humble and knowing the basics about where I'm from.
I'm sure you would have learned a lot about your, you know, Samoa and your culture through representing the Fetu Samoa, which we'll touch on shortly. But we've got a rule here on Nijan Footy where
I'm glad you brought it up.
we're not allowed to say that we're plastic because we all have, whether it's Samoa, Tonga or Cook Island, blood running through our veins. That is just how it is. So we are not plastic. You're not plastic. You are Samoan. And what we do have in common, actually, is we bleed red, white and blue, the lovely Roosters colours. So I love having chats to my fellow Roosters. What do we call each other? Family members.
There you go.
What was your upbringing like? Was Samoa a big part of your upbringing?
Well, yeah, my dad, he moved to some from Samoa to Australia when he was quite young, and he met my mum, which is my Irish side. And my mum, they kind of like swapped cultures while trying to teach each other's ways and cultures. So I was born in Wollongong, and then I grew up in Claymore, which is like around Campbelltown. And then I think that's kind of where everything started. There was obviously a lot of like Polynesian culture around that area. Once I then moved to Queensland, I think that's when I kind of not drifted. I've always been very like passionate and open about my culture and proud of it. But I think that's kind of when the shift in, I guess, diversity changed, just because Queensland didn't have a lot of Polynesian communities like coming from Claymore, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Nice. And when you say swap cultures, Irish and Samoan, have you got an example there for us of what that I'm intrigued on how that crossed over.
When my dad obviously met my mum, he was very fresh, didn't know what he was really talking about, somehow swooned her, I'd say. but, yeah, in the way of him trying to learn English, she then swapped and learned how to speak Samoan. So my mum, who's a white lady, could then fluently speak Samoan.
No way. So she's fluent?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then, you know, when my parents did split, it still kept that close connection, because my mum was also made sure we stayed on top of knowing our culture, and she also helped play a big part in pushing that forward, not just my dad, but yeah.
How good. Did you always play footy, or was there any other sports that you played?
I started in track and field. I wasn't a big fan of it at all. My mum and dad forced me to do it. But the first sport I actually played was soccer. I played like 1 year of soccer, but I was really bad, really, really bad. So I didn't play that again. And then I kind of just stuck to your girly, like cheer and dance and stuff like that. And then when I was 12 was when I was like watching my brother play at Nerang Roosters with like Reese Walsh and, you know, all those other boys. And I was like, I want to try that. It looks fun. But my dad's very traditional, and he was like, no, you're not doing that. You're not playing that. So it took a while for me to convince him to let me play.
Was it that moment straight after that you asked your dad, can I play, or how did that eventuate?
The first person I asked was my mum. Everything was still pretty new, so I still had to play with the boys back then. But in my mind, I wasn't really clicking that it wasn't a girl thing to do. Like, I was kind of just like, oh, it's sport, I'll play a sport kind of thing. And my mum was all for it. She didn't really mind. Her family's big on footy, so she was kind of like, I don't care what you do, but if you're going to do it, you're doing the whole season. Like, you're not pulling out if you don't like it kind of thing. And then she said, but you're going to have to ask your dad. And I was just sitting there thinking, there's no way I'm asking this. He's going to say no. He already gets mad at me when I don't want to go and do track. I couldn't imagine him like saying yes to me playing footy. And so we had a big dinner, and I told my nan, she's a big footy head. I've got a very good connection with my nan. And my nan sat down my dad and told him, not asked him, she told him that I'm going to play footy. From then on, he kind of just listened, and now I play footy.
And I bet that he not regrets the thoughts of even you not playing now, but how proud is he as a father to see your journey so far in rugby league?
Oh, he loves it. He's still stubborn in his ways, and he's a bit antisocial, so most of the games he'll watch from home on the TV. But, yeah, he's really proud. And I think last year when I got to represent Fetu Samoa, you know, and go over to Auckland and see some of my family that I haven't seen in, like, a really long time, I think that was a big eye-opener for him, and he's super proud.
What's he like as someone watching the game? Like, is he like that? We've had a few people on here, Will Hopuate and Lehi Hopuate, talk about John Hopuate watching the game and giving that, I guess, fatherly advice and some other instance where, you know, the staunch Islander man behind the goalposts. What's your dad like?
That's my dad. If it's okay. So rainy, he'll stand with an umbrella in the furthest corner there.
Okay.
And he doesn't say a word. He'll have people come up to him and be like, oh, is that your daughter? And he'll be like, no. Then he keeps watching the game, and he'll give me a mouthful in the car if something's gone wrong in his eyes.
So that car ride home, just before T asked another question here, is that, are you in the front seat or the back seat if you haven't had a good game?
Back seat.
On the bus.
On the bus. If it's the van, go right to the back.
I'm going to lift with my mates if I have to. I'm avoiding it. Yeah, no, he's pretty snappy. Like, and then I'll try to be like, oh, but this happened because of this, and he goes, no, Tavana. Oh my gosh, you can't get through to him. So
you represent your nation, the motherland, Samoa. What was that experience like, and what did you gain from that whole campaign?
That was probably one of my favorite camps to date, to be honest. You know, you get to be around girls that come from the same culture as you. I think that's something that not a lot of people will understand the feeling of when, you know, you use collectively banding together to represent a nation. It's something I took a lot of pride in. It was very exciting for me. It was a bit daunting because I am still quite young and I was put in at 5'8", so that was kind of like, well, it's big shoes to fill. Don't want to mess it up or anything. But I think just going into that camp, there was also other young girls like Lindsay Tui and Eva McEwen that made it super easy and natural as well, because it was like, oh, yeah, we're young, but we're clearly here for a reason. We're not only representing ourselves and our families, but the girls next to us. So it was super exciting.
What was it like for him, you know, you putting on that blue jersey and representing that sort of thing, but even for your mum who helped with, you know, keeping that connection to culture as well?
Yeah, no, my mum and dad were super proud. For the first game, obviously everyone watched from home, but they went to the local pub and it was set up on the TV and stuff. So my mum and her side of the family and my siblings were all watching there. My dad was quietly watching from his house from the TV. But for the second game in Auckland, my dad flew to Auckland to watch. And that moment was probably super special to me. It was something, it makes me like a bit emotional, but yeah, I got to see and meet people I hadn't met before. I got to see my nan and stuff that I hadn't seen since I was like 5, and seeing how proud and loving they were, you know, for their family that is still staying over in Australia while they're in New Zealand. It was something I'll forever cherish, especially seeing my dad. And once again, he kept his sunnies on. And now when I heard him sniffle when he was hugging me and hear him sniffling, I think that was what hit home, because I could tell he was super proud and he didn't give me any growling. He just kept hugging me and saying, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm so glad you could put our name on the big stage like that. So, yeah.
What a special moment.
Love that. Love that.
Now, with the State of Origin game coming up this weekend, game one, you know, you've been caught up into the Queensland camp. What's that campaign and camp been like for yourself so far?
It's very welcoming. Yeah, I'm very young and new to this scene, but all the girls are very welcoming. You know, they've got big names here. So it's been really easy to adjust in the team, and I'm learning a lot, and it doesn't feel, I don't know, like I said about the Roosters girls, I think this group of girls as well, it's also another group that makes it feel very natural. They take away the pressure because they're just so open and honest with you, and they're good at giving that constructive criticism as well as like giving you your raps when you're doing something good. So, yeah, it's been pretty smooth sailing.
And you'd have a few teammates, Roosters teammates in the Blues team. Have you gave some tips to your Queensland teammates?
Is the coach as well, Roosters coach, yeah, for the State of Origin? Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't really looked too far into the team. I just know that there's a lot of them. And last year hearing Taron get peppered at training for winning, yeah. I can see who's going to get bragging rights this year once we go back to Clubland.
Yeah. Oh, man. And again, I'm just going to go back to this question. Dad, how was he when you got announced in this Queensland side, and has he got his sunglasses ready for sitting behind the post?
Oh, he's super happy. He just keeps calling me every morning at 5 o'clock to see what I'm up to. Like, I haven't told him I'll be in camp every day. Yeah, no, he's super happy, but I think he's watching this one from home. He doesn't like busy stadiums or being around too many people.
Well, honestly, I wish we could chat a little bit longer just about your journey, especially about your old man. He seems like a character and the rest of your family. But from all of us here on Nijan Footy, we really appreciate your time. We love the fact that you're a young superstar who shows a lot of humility out there, but absolutely is a weapon on the field. And we wish you nothing but love and all the best for this upcoming game. We're Blues supporters, so we won't give you too much luck, but all the best for the rest of your career as well. Hopefully we get to catch up at some point soon.
Yes, thank you guys very much.
The Nijan Footy All-Stars!
Yeah, Toop, so each week myself and Sam pick some players from League and Union that performed well the week before They'll be added to a squad, and then at the end of this season, we will be picking our 2025 Nijin Footy All-Stars team. So I'll start with, let's start with Rugby Union. What two players are you going to add to the Nijin Footy All-Stars? Actually, this just reminded me. Earlier in the year.
It's going to come.
Earlier.
Who's going to come?
No, stop.
It's only round 10. Earlier, it's going to come, I'm telling you.
Earlier in the year, you came and brought two players to my list. I do know Caleb, and he is a solid player for Manly Sea Eagles.
He's
going to
come. You just got to trust it. It's okay. A long year.
Oh, well,
name those players, and then I want you to say sorry when I come back on.
Let's edit that out. Nah. Well, let's start with your two players for Rugby Union.
All right, my Rugby Union players, I'm going with CO Tomkinson from the Western Force. He plays centre for them. He's had a great year. Could qualify for Manu Samoa, but I am going with him for my number one pick. Super strong, super intense, and he is a defensive juggernaut. So, Seal Tomkinson from the Western Force, number one. And number two, I've got Xavier Ta'ele from the Blues. I mentioned him around someone to look out for. He's starting at second five this week against the Drua. I think he is going to grow into this occasion physically against the Drua. So definitely someone and a player for the future.
Beautiful. Well, this week in rugby league, I'm going with Robert Toya from the Sydney Roosters. Now, he's been playing on the centre, but just...
On the centre.
He's been playing at centre. Just the way that he moves, you can just see the athletic ability, but now starting to be... coached from Trent Robertson and his coaching staff, he's starting to understand the game, giving me Michael Jennings type vibes. Can break a tackle.
It's a big call.
Got that offload.
Michael Jennings.
Robert Toya, you're added to my squad. Now, my second player, you actually mentioned him when I spoke about the Panthers versus Broncos game on Magic Weekend. Laurent Patea, St. Clair Comets Jr., came off the bench, scored his first try after five NRL games, but more his defensive efforts. Mm. He was getting off the line, putting some big shots on, and he shifted the momentum of this game. Broncos got out to a really good start, a dominant start, but I just feel when Laurent came on, he added a bit of punch to the Panthers go forward, but also their defense. So, Laurent, you're joining a well-rounded... or actually a superstar, all-stars, footy, Nijin footy, all-stars.
He will be a superstar one day too.
And he will be a St. Clair Comets legend already. So, great additions. Let's get straight to Tota Kefu reporting live from Japan.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Tota Kefu!
With Tota Kefu.
Each week we're joined by a Pacifica rugby legend. He played... for the Wallabies 60 times and coached the Galitahi for 7 years. Live from Japan, where he lives now, coaches now. Welcome back, King Kefu. How are you, brother?
I'm well, gentlemen. Great to be back. I see our main man, Wikes, he's on holidays.
Yeah, I think he might be sipping a pina colada before the game tonight, where Drua is playing in Fiji, so he had to catch the early flight. So we've got the big man, Toops, here. How's everything going in Japan and your team, Kintetsu?
Boys, Kintetsu. So we got one game left in the regular season, so we're in second spot.
Okay.
So we're playing the it's a top of the table clash. So if we win this game, we secure second spot. So which means we got to stay for another 3 weeks and play the promotion relegation game, which will be a lot tougher. But I mean, that's been our whole goal, is to make the top two and then play the promotion relegation game. So yeah, so we're, you know, another 3 weeks to go.
It must have been about 5-6 weeks ago when I asked you the same question and you said that you had to win majority if not all of those games. So you've managed to scrape in and, you know, win the last few games and now stuck there for another few more weeks.
Yeah, that's the only bad side about it. But we actually managed to win all those games really well. We won them by 20, 30 points. Our team's in a really good space at the moment. The boys are starting to find a bit of rhythm, and yeah, we're in a really good groove at the moment. I'm pretty confident we'll knock these blokes off. We've got a really good squad, and yeah, we should be able to get the job done tomorrow.
Yeah, nice. I'm sure there's a bonus or two for you guys to be motivated to get into the next ladder of our competition, man. So, obviously, long year, man, but I'm sure a bonus would help, wouldn't it?
I wish there was a yen bonus.
Oh, I think you're taking all the bonus, that's why.
Or the yen.
Yeah, or the yen. Just speaking of, I guess, your team at the moment, you mentioned a couple of times two Pacifica players in the past. Anyone else that could feature later in the year for our Pacific nations when you're thinking of Pacifica players?
There's a Tongan prop at the moment playing tight head for us. His name's Lata Dangi Mana. He's come out of nowhere. He's just one of those boys who have come over here for university and then just hung around and played for a couple of clubs, and he's ended up at our club. He's made unbelievable strides in the last 6 months. I could see him playing for Japan, or even he's showed some interest to play for Tonga. So I'm going to try and push him down that pathway. So I've already been in contact with some of the Tongan coaches. But this young kid, he's 26, 27, so he's just getting into his prime for a prop. But this guy's a monster. He's made of cement, and he's really raw. Yeah, watch out for him. I think he could make an impact over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I'm sure Tonga would love to have him. Now, before we talk Super Rugby, you know what Sammy is like, and he likes to leak a bit of news or rumours, and he shared some news that there might be the King Kefu might be coaching the Pacific and Indigenous team against the Lions this year. Now, is there any truth to these rumours?
There is a little bit of truth to that.
Yes.
Come on.
You've heard it here first. You've broken it, T. There's still some details to be sorted out. That looks like the case. Hopefully, you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's so good. What kind of players will be of that makeup? Is it like obviously Pacifica, but is it New Zealand, Australia, or is it just the Australian players from Super Rugby?
Yeah, look, good question. Look, from my understanding, and they've sent me a squad already, it'll be all Australian, Indigenous and Pacifica players who play Super Rugby in Australia. So there's plenty players about. But they also want to showcase the players who are close to Wallaby selection. So the guys who are just on the fringe, players like Seru Uru, there's a host of players there. Oh, there's probably too many to name, but yeah, it gives those blokes a chance, but also a great way. What a great way, spectacle to represent your family and your Pacifica heritage.
Man, that's massive news, and I always know Sammy's not far from the truth. So thank you for breaking that one, and I hope it all works out. Now, Tupou here is also a player agent, so when you ask that question, he quickly puts some notes down, because I'm sure he'll be...
I'm going to feed him some players.
I'm sure he'll be giving you a phone call saying, hey, I've got a couple.
I've got the inside scoop
that fit the criteria.
Here.
But what's the most exciting thing about being a head coach compared to an assistant coach?
It's a lot easier being an assistant coach. I know that. The head coach... You know, there's a lot of things you've got to manage. Not only players, there's your game plan, but you know, you've also got to manage above you. Mm. The front office. The head coach has got bosses as well that he has to try and manage. So you're managing a variety of people, and obviously there's the results that you need to put on the park. So yeah, a lot of responsibility.
Do you get to pick your own coaching staff once you are appointed?
We've asked this question. We've tried to get in the coaching staff already a couple of weeks ago. As soon as we heard whispers, me and Sam were like, hey, man, we can do it. We can hold the bags. Hey. We can, you know, the kit man, they're important people these days.
If you need an operational manager, we can Kiff's, I'm here.
get in line because that is a long line.
Oh well, you know, we got half the Cook Island community, brother. That's another arm. You need some sponsors. We got you. But yeah, what an awesome opportunity for you to not only, I guess, coach the team, but it's against the Lions. You know, happens once every 12 years. So not only great for our people, but just that opportunity itself to play on that on the world map.
Some of the players that will be involved, this will be the only one and only time they'll get to play the British and Irish Lions. So, it'll be a great opportunity for them.
Now, before we move to Super Rugby, last one on this topic. If you were to, when you put your team together and, you know, start thinking of players, you know, who are a couple of players that would you'd love to have in this team?
Well, I've actually tried to push Will Genia actually as a backup halfback. You know, he's playing bloody good football over here at the moment, and he's also looking to go into coaching. So, it'd be great to have him on board, but geez, there's a wealth of talent there in Australia, especially around the Pacifica players. You could pick a host of players that could play.
Man, it's going to be good. What a test that they get to be a part of, but also, you know, even if they don't play that game, the exposure itself will help them for the future.
Totally agree.
Super Rugby, Pacific, obviously the draw, Pip the Reds, how good for the team, how good for the nation. What do you think, Bikifu?
Yeah, look, unbelievable game. The Reds have got to really be disappointed with that. You know, they probably thought, by the selection of their squad that played, they probably thought they were going to win that quite easily. And the Reds probably needed to win that to just kind of cement that top six spot. But the Drua were actually fantastic. Mm. Look, I really love the way the Drua controlled the game. You know, a lot of ball running, but they were so controlled. There was no loose passes, no silly turnovers. They kept the pressure on. They controlled possession and territory for the full 80 minutes. I thought they were really clinical. But there's some great players that just come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
BG. And the good thing that that they've been doing is rotating their squad. I know I probably wouldn't go that way if I was a head coach, but Mick Byrne now has got a host of players that he can choose from for his Fiji and Test matches this year.
Yeah, Sammy mentioned last week when he was, you know, in Fiji and seeing the Drua team come in, and he said there was a different type of energy. You know, they had the big boombox playing. They were relaxed. They were laughing, but they were also locked in at the same time. Do you think, as a coach, when teams do look more relaxed, don't have that pressure or feel like they have that tension or pressure, it is a positive, especially for our Pacific teams?
Yeah, look, I think you hit the nail right on the head there, T. I think for the Pacific teams, they perform better when they're relaxed, when there's not too much pressure on them. You know, we all, as professional athletes, we all like a little bit of pressure to perform. But I think for Pacific Islanders, you know, it's everyone's different. But as a team, I think taking that approach is a lot better for the Pacific Islanders.
Yeah. The last thing I was just want to touch on around the draw, they've obviously not going to make the finals. You know, if you're Mick, if you're Danny, how are they going to be motivating them for the rest of the year?
Oh, look, I think the Fijian jersey is a nice little incentive for them. You know, play test match. There's a tour at the end of the year. They got PNC coming up against Tonga and Samoa, so there's plenty of opportunity to play for the Flying Fijians. So that would be the biggest carrot, I think, for all the players at the moment.
Yeah, I think they've got something like 12 tests coming up for the year. So, you know,
that's
a great opportunity for them to get picked for that. Hopefully they don't get picked for like racing or any of those French teams like what they've been doing the last couple of years. It's like a picking. It's a great picking ground for the French teams that Fiji enjoys. Onto the Blues, obviously, they're coming up tonight, but they're on the cusp of the finals. Firstly, do you think they're going to make it?
Well, I think the Blues are very strong. It's going to be a really interesting game tonight. But it's going to be a tough game. You know, the Blues are desperate because they need to win this to push them into the top six. It's that fifth, sixth, seventh spot's quite, eighth spot's quite, there's a bit of a log jam there. So, look, it's going to be, it could go either way. If the Drua turned up like they did last week, be really controlled around there, not giving away silly penalties, silly turnovers. They could really, really do a really good job here and play well. If they play well, they'll beat the Blues, I reckon.
You mentioned earlier about the players playing, like maybe motivated to play for a Fijian jersey. As a coach, do you also use the opportunity to ruin the other team's chances of making the finals to motivate the players as well?
I as a coach, you probably wouldn't do that. I think for me personally, it's always been about performance. Playing to the highest of your ability. Even you take away the result hopefully looks after itself if the performance is there. So I think for these Drua players, because there's such a big rotation of players, maybe if they play well week in, week out, they'll be just looking to play the next week. I think that's a massive motivation for them. It'd be all about performance, I would say, T.
Yeah, and it's a big game at home tonight. So, you know, tune in this evening. The Drua take on the Blues, who are holding on for that finals berth. On to Moana. Obviously, they got the bye this week, but man, what did you think of their win last week against the Highlanders? First win ever against them as well.
Wow, I thought, first of all, I thought the game was very good. I thought Moana were defensively outstanding. The pressure at the ruck, the kick chase, their line speed, and just winning collisions in defence and causing turnovers. I thought they were outstanding. Highlanders, I think Highlanders were poor when they had the ball. They just couldn't execute. There were some great pictures of tactical kicking there. You could see both teams were trying to win the territory battle. One of the last two, three games have found a lot of ascendancy on the edges, out wide. And once they got into that attack zone, they just go to that power game that they have, one off the ruck, getting around the corner, winning collisions. The other teams just find so hard to stop. Unbelievable win, hey, Moana. And, geez, Surveyor.
He's something else, isn't he? He is, one of a million, generational player. He's leading the player of the year standings. How much of a revelation he's been, not just for the team itself, but off-field as well. What are your thoughts on, I guess, how much of an impact he's brought to New Zealand, to Moana Pacifica, but also just in general?
Yeah, he's been outstanding. Even both on and off the field, you can see how much he's respected by his own players and the coaching group. Tana's done a really good job bringing him in. When he gets interviewed after the game, it's never ever about the result. It's always about the event and the opportunity to play with and against his brothers, which is fantastic. He's a great leader of men. He was outstanding. I think we mentioned this last week, T, also, just the impact he's had on the technical, tactical stuff with Moana.
Yeah.
And mate, that's a true sign of a great player, making other players better.
Yeah, it's also a true sign of a great leader, right? He's literally making players that, let's say if you put them in other teams, they probably don't play as good, but when you've got an inspirational leader like someone like Artie Salvia, I think you'd grow an arm and a leg to make sure you don't disappoint him. So, yeah. such a such an awesome player to
be. Just
to
be a leader, like. A leader on and off the field. The one image I loved was when they played the draw and they all had their arms wrapped around each other in a circle. And when he spoke, you could see that everyone was just listening. Yeah, and he meant, and the things that he was talking about, it wasn't about, the game. It was about, you know, blessed to play off you with all our brothers, safe travels home. And then they went on to, thank God and also sing their hymns. So I'd never get sick of hearing Adi Savia's name and the way that he's impacted the game of rugby union. And I'd love to see him in a rugby league tour Samoa jersey one day. But do you ever think that he'd... Do you ever think you'd ever play for Samoa at the international level for rugby union?
That's a bloody good question, T. Yeah, he might. He could. I mean, if he wants to now, he would have to, because I think it's a 3-year wait, isn't it? So he would, for him to play, when's the next World Cup? Is a couple of years away. He would have to forego it this year, I would say.
Is he eligible for the Pacific and Indigenous team? That's the next one.
He'd be captain. he could drive the bus if he wants.
He'll be captain, assistant coach, whatever he wants. Yeah. That's what he gets. Oh, man.
No, that's awesome. Well, on that note... King Kifu, it's always an honour to have you here on Knees and Footy Fridays, and we love hearing from your expertise, knowledge of our game. So all the best to your team this weekend, and we hope to keep chatting to you from Japan for the next few weeks anyway.
Boys, been a pleasure, eh? Take care. Have a good weekend.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Well, Toops, welcome to our knockout tipping time where we will pick one team from rugby union and rugby league each week, and we're not allowed to pick that team until we've picked all the other teams. And the loser at the end of the year has to buy the winner a jersey of their choice.
Okay. How's Sam going, by the way, at the moment?
So I'm on 13, he's on 10. So it's not too far away. I think I got... Will Hopuate got 2 for me and Sam got 0 last week.
Oh, nice, Sam. So I got to carry you this week. That's all right. I got you.
Let's go with you. Who you got in NRL?
In the NRL, I am going to go Warriors versus the Dragons.
Warriors to beat the Dragons.
Easy win.
Nice.
Easy win.
And in rugby union?
In rugby union, I am going Blues over the Jua.
Ooh,
big
that's
call,
a good game.
But, you know. Blues are hungry and they're desperate.
Nah, I'll actually start with Union.
Okay,
and because you're going the Blues, I'll go the Drua.
Oh, why?
So it'll be a head-to-head Drua, just playing at home. I think after speaking to Totai and these players playing for a Fijian jersey, enough motivation there for them to play well, but also play well on the motherland of Fiji. So I'm going Drua, and in rugby league, I will go the Knights to beat the Titans. I just think there's a bit of noise coming out of the Titans camp recently about player movement, the coach, and when you have them distractions, it's hard to then play a solid 80 minutes against a team like the Knights. And you look at the way the Knights played last week.
Dollar.
Mate, they were outstanding against South Sydney Rabbitohs.
It's not hard to against South Sydney at the moment.
30-4, though.
Yeah.
And they are coached by Wayne Bennett, the GOAT. So I'm going the Knights to beat the Titans. And that's us, Toops. What a show.
Man, what a show, man.
Footy Fridays.
Thank you for having me.
Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Knees and Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you again for filling in, brother.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.